Welcome. You're listening to the Empathic and Heart-Driven Podcast with Megan Jean. Here we explore the realm of energy and feelings. We learn how to navigate our path, feel empowered to be who we are, and connect peacefully to our purpose. If you've ever been called sensitive, if you've ever struggled with the fact that you don't do normal, or you're craving the support to step out into the world in a way that aligns with your true self, then this podcast is for you. It's crazy to think that the podcast has been on hiatus for a couple of months now. Where I live in Victoria, in Melbourne, we have been in stage 4 lockdown, meaning no movement whatsoever. Lots and lots of people not able to work. My business, my beauty clinic, has been closed now for, 10 weeks or something, something ridiculous. But in this time of craziness, in this time of homeschooling and all these things, I have made some mistakes, and I have also fiercely taken care of myself. It's kind of been, two sides of the scale. So in today's episode, I'm going to share with you what I have learnt from opening myself up to a level of self-care on steroids that is very different to the term self-care as we know it, the typical form of self-care as we know it. So stay with me and I will share with you this incredible journey that I've been on in the last couple of months. Here we go. So here we are, about 9.5 months into the year that is 2020. This one surely goes down in the history books. Oh, what a roller coaster. But I must say that I reckon in these times, everyone's obviously had to do what they've had to do. Everyone's experienced this differently. My heart is there with everyone, no matter what type of experience they're having. For me, though, I've found this time as an opportunity to be very intentional with my thoughts and very intentional with my actions. It hasn't always played out like that. I think there's been a level of grief that we've all gone through, so I'm no expert on the stages of grief, but, having that sort of, unable to accept it, feeling sad, feeling angry, feeling defiant, all of those different types of things. In the first time that we were popped into, proper isolation where I live, I must admit, I was not doing very good by myself. But the reason that I found this to be was because I really wasn't doing very good by myself. And energetically, I can now look back and say, my goodness, girl, you were vibrating at such a lower frequency compared to now. And that first time in isolation was spent just really in a deep recovery. I hold no resentment to that time. All that was needed was complete shut off and feeling like I had the freedom to do what I needed to do. I was pretty busy. I was setting up this podcast. I was doing, all the things, website, getting more presence on social media, all these types of things. And it was really exciting. But I found myself being really, really bad to myself in terms of the diet that I was sticking to. No, there was no diet, to be honest. It was more of a just flailing around, you know, eating what I needed to eat, you know, every night almost. It got to a point where I was looking to alcohol. You know, the funny memes that go around on social media saying, oh gosh, if it's not coffee time, it's wine time. And at that moment, I was kind of getting a chuckle out of that. But now I'm looking back on that, sending that part of my life a lot of love and going, oh my goodness, you know, that was not making me feel very good on all fronts, not mentally and definitely not physically. So once we came out of isolation and I really, really felt quite heavy and like I hadn't shifted anything really, I just had a break. All of the same problems still had their weight to them. I got in touch with a naturopath. I found her. Her name is Kirsten Albon. Kirsten Albon Naturopathy. You can look her up on socials. And for me, I went to her and said, look, I have a problem with how I eat. I don't place any importance on the food that goes into my mouth. I don't care about it. I don't have an eating disorder. I don't have any problems with, you know, binge eating. And it's not like I even believe that I eat that badly. So I told myself. But, you know, after breakfast, it would be very rare that I would even bother to consider what I'm going to eat for lunch or snack through the day. And get to a point where maybe I was just grabbing for whatever, not grabbing for anything, and then absolutely being starving and just, again, grabbing whatever. Or sometimes, you know, literally waiting right through to dinner and just scoffing whatever we were having. And so that was bad. And unbeknownst to me, of course I was aware of it, but I was definitely feeling so ill every day. Now, this is nothing new. And I think being sensitive, you know, being empathic and, you know, I've just come to realize that, you know, feeling a bit off or feeling funny when I go to different places, feeling ill after I eat food and when I'm at work and things like that. Hey, that's all normal, isn't it? No. So as we started our sessions together and we delved into all of the belief work behind, you know, where all this was coming from, and it came from a lot of different places, it really started to highlight to me that my habits, whilst I just had no idea where they were coming from or why I was being this way, why I was putting things into my body or drinking the alcohol or doing whatever, because I mean, I've never done anything excessively. So, you know, that's the mask, right? That's the time where you think, oh, it's not bad. I don't have any problem with any of these things. It's not to excess, so it's fine, right? But it's not. No one should be feeling heavy. No one should be feeling ill. No one should be feeling that sense of just heavy energy every single day, or lack thereof for that matter. So after a few sessions, Kirsten suggested to me that I go on to a proper plan. It was a very simple plan. It was don't eat any gluten, don't eat any dairy, don't have any alcohol, and don't have any caffeine. She gave me the meal plan, you know, all that kind of stuff, which was really important because coming from someone like me who is, as I just said, I did not really know how to eat, what to eat, all that stuff. The meal plan was needed, basically. So It was an easy thing to do. What it made me realize, though, was how unattuned I was to my body, how unattuned I was to my energy, and especially being an empath. This is just something that I felt cannot go ignored, because I can definitely say, oh yeah, you know, I go here or there, or I'm in someone's energy and it makes me feel bad and all of that. But realistically, I had never given myself the opportunity to almost step back from my body, if that makes sense, and allow myself to know without any doubt, you know, is it the food I'm eating? Is it the company I'm holding? Is it the stress levels that I'm going under, or any of those things that are actually causing me this physical pain? And this whole thing, it revealed a lot, and it opened up a lot of channels in the process as well. So the first few weeks were hard. Not because I felt like I was missing out on, you know, like bread and all of that. It's quite amazing these days when you look at the shops and to find things that are gluten-free or dairy alternatives, like it's very easy. Yeah, they're different textures and stuff, but I actually found that super easy. I found it super easy too because suddenly I was going for days on end without feeling heavy and nauseous all the time. So that level of healing was fabulous. If that was all it was, that was fabulous. It was so much more than that though. The hard part was feeling like, you know, I can't have any caffeine. Now, caffeine was something I was probably the most scared to give up because I have basically drank a cup of tea or more, you know, every day since I was a kid. My nanny used to give me tea. Not that I ever considered tea to be like a fully caffeinated drink. It is. But, you know, eventually over the years, you take up the habit of drinking coffee, and I enjoy a coffee. I enjoy the taste. I enjoy everything. It's just that every time I drink coffee, it makes me feel ill. And it's so bizarre to say I drink something that makes me feel sick. But I guess that's why caffeine's addictive, right? So it was hard because I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to go through the withdrawals. I'm going to feel awful. You know, it's not going to be cool. And I mean, of course I did. It was the first couple of days and I just felt really groggy and gross and not too headachy or anything. So I was fine like that. But eventually, I started to realize just how amped up caffeine makes my body feel. And I'm not here to preach to you, you know, give up the caffeine, but I think for a feeler, for someone that feels their way through life, like we speak about on this podcast, caffeine, I realize now, gives you that false sense of pretty much everything. It definitely gives you energy that your body is not ready to have. It motivates you to do things that perhaps you're not supposed to be doing right now. And it deprives you of the stillness and the rest that you need to revive, proper rest, energy coming down, and you being okay with that, and you being able to sit in those moments, whatever swirl it is, whether you're really like digesting a certain up level that you're going through, or, you know, just knowing that you need to stop and have a little bit of, when I say you time, you know, it's time without being focused on work or kids or tasks or anything like that. You know, coffee particularly for me, has just kept me going, 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 and going. And while you might think, well, this is the world we live in, we need that, I promise you, as an empath and as a feminine core being, which if you're listening to this and if you sort of think, yeah, that is me too, I can tell you right now, you do not need to keep going and going and going. In fact, it is going to disconnect you from your rhythms, from your modes, and it is just going to keep you in this constant state of energetic flow that then blocks all of the juicy, delicious goodness that the universe has for you in those times of stillness and in those times of presence. It's been a huge revelation for me, huge. So time went by and I started to feel really, really good and I slept amazing and my skin looks so good. Like all these great things were happening. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves in Melbourne again, you know, at the point where my business was already closed. So in ways, it shouldn't have really affected me dramatically. But stage four was about to be reinstated or instated, sorry. It never gotten that bad here up until then. And my husband, his, you know, gardening business was set to close and we were just waiting around to find out what the hell was going on. So, I was stressed. Even though I had my head in the game and I was feeling good and everything, and I almost feel like I was able to cope with that situation a hell of a lot more as a result of all of this sort of detox that I was doing, I definitely felt the anxiety. Definitely. The good thing about that was I could actually say, okay, it's not caffeine, it's not the food, it's not, you know, alcohol. It is literally the stress of it all. And that's why I'm feeling really yucky, really overcome, really nauseous, whatever. So that was kind of good. The best way to feel ill is to know that you are not actually ill. Very bizarre. But it was in those moments where suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, I really just want to have some comfort food. And in those moments I thought, oh my gosh, I'd really love to have a cup of coffee right now. And I just want that biscuit and some pasta with cheese on it or something. You know, these are my comfort foods. And of course, you know, having the wine or whatever it is, you know, you sort of say, oh, you know, it's well deserved, or in this scenario it was like it's needed just to calm my nerves. And it was quite a revelation in that moment too. Because prior to this, Kirsten, my naturopath, she hit me with a very hard-hitting question. This was before the detox. When we were working together, she basically said to me, why don't you think that you are worthy of feeling physically well? And at that time, I was just like, oh my goodness, why don't I feel worthy of feeling physically well? What am I doing to myself? Of course I'm worthy of that, but I'm not feeling well ever, you know? So when we worked through some of that stuff, that was all very well and good. And I definitely feel like that made me vibe to the point where I was ready to take on this whole detox program. But in this moment of stage four lockdown and stress and craving all the things that, you know, I definitely abolished for those few weeks, I had another revelation. And that revelation was, oh my gosh, I'm not craving all this stuff because it is going to comfort me. I'm not craving all this stuff because it's my right. It's not going to calm nerves. It's not going to make me feel any better. Like, Megan, what are you doing? This stuff is going to make you feel worse. And it was that moment that I realized I'm grabbing for these things because I want to feel physically as bad as I do energetically. And that just rocked my world, you know. And I would go as far to say that maybe that's something that resonates for you, and it would for a lot of people as well. I believe that the way that we energetically protect ourselves can be very tricky, you know. So being an empath, taking on other people's energy, feeling what other people feel, that is it's a big deal. Being intuitive, having those abilities to channel in messages and frequencies from other people, from other beings, from other realms, from everywhere, from the earth. You know, it's all one in the same. We're all intuitive. It's just our acknowledgement and knowing and practice of such things that differs from person to person, right? So I think with such a revelation, it really does beg the question, or it flips all the habits that we have on their head to make us question whether our practices and our daily rituals and the way we nourish ourselves and the way that we take care of ourselves, is it truly adding to our expansion and taking care of ourselves fully, completely within our power? Or are we actually trying to sabotage ourselves? Are we trying to mask deeper pain? Or are we trying to shut ourselves off from our potential? And I mean, that potential could be anything, right? Because with all of that knowledge and with all of that detox, I mean, this was only a couple of weeks in, so I kept going. I just found that my intuition grew. My channeling grew. My knowingness to myself grew. All of a sudden, any little twinge, any little pain, anything that came up, I questioned it immediately because it wasn't in a fog of, you know, bad foods. And I'm not saying that gluten and dairy are bad. It's just the body needed time to heal. And I needed to reclaim the patterns and the energies that naturally spring forth from the feminine. From that moment, I've had so much more clarity and so much more inspiration, obviously towards Megan Jean and to my beauty clinic, and things are really, really starting to change. And I was able to channel in some ideas that are just crazily out of this world, which is really exciting. And of course, all will be revealed in time. But the biggest thing that it's taught me is that your body needs what it needs. Your mind needs what it needs. And you can't turn away from that. You can't shut it out. You can't drink it away. And you can't add that caffeine injection and pretend that it's not there. Rest and recuperation is just as important, if not even more important, than the go, go, go times. Because it's in that stillness that we are able to, and it's not just about reviving, but it's the stillness that enables those ideas to flow, that allows that passion to be reignited, that allows that creativity to come pouring into your crown. And believe me, it is phenomenal what happens when you're able to tap back into yourself properly and fully. So the self-care suddenly becomes more than just, you know, obviously being a beauty clinic owner, you know, we're always promoting self-care, you know, take care of your skin and take care of your body. And that is, I still stand by that. That is still very important. But I've had a lot more presence in the fact of taking care of my skin, doing those bathing rituals and taking the time to, you know, fix myself up, do my hair, makes myself feel really good. But what I've learned is that self-care, while it's a very cliche word, if you if you want to know about the energy behind words, I definitely have the podcast episode of a few episodes prior, which you can go back and listen to. That's, I'm very proud of that one. That one has a lot of concepts about how we feel about the words that we speak, especially the ones that sound so good, just like self-care. But as I keep alluding to, you know, what I've learned is that self-care is so much more than what we believe it to be. All of this ability to tap into your needs and who you are and what you came here to be and to embody all of your body's needs and your mind's needs. That is what self-care is. Listening to yourself, having your ear right up to the wall of your soul and telling yourself, right, well, this is what is needed and it needs to be done without hesitation, without question, without compromise. That is pure power and expansive energy. Self-care is here to expand us. It gives you the ability to up-level. It gives you the ability to see things that are hidden. The last reading that I did for myself, my tarot readings that I enjoy doing for myself, you know, the moon card came up from the major arcana And that is a card of not perhaps being able to see what the darkness shadows. You've only got the moon showing you part of the story. I honestly believe that the fierce, unapologetic self-care, when you actually commit to going, this is what I need. And it's not just a day-to-day spa, even though I do work in a skin clinic, so, you know, I definitely would love you to do that. But it's not about that. It's about fiercely protecting yourself, your needs. This isn't about being a martyr. This isn't about being selfless or, you know, feeling selfish as a result. But it's the whole circle of you that needs that self-care. Because when you do, you're going to open that channel. When you do, things get to change. When you do, life gets to expand. It's almost like this period, which I have said, you know, on the front line in other things that I've got on my Facebook page and alike, that this time has felt like being in the chrysalis, in the cocoon. And I felt like prior to this time, I was a caterpillar trying to be a better caterpillar. But now I realize that this fierce connection to myself, the detox and, you know, doing the right thing and really honoring myself and all of my needs actually has resulted in the emergence of the beautiful butterfly, that gorgeous transformation. And I think it's a big key for any of you that are feeling stuck. I'm not saying that the thing to do is to, you know, go and cut out foods and, you know, stop having caffeine and alcohol. But I'm telling you right now, changing your habits and being unapologetic about your level of comfort in all aspects, that is honestly the key to helping you get to your next level, whatever that looks like. If you feel like you are at the bottom of the barrel right now, that is something to journal on. That is something to consider from today's podcast. What is it that I will not accept anymore? And always ask the universe for help, because the minute you do and the minute you surrender, help is on its way. You will see it in signs. You will see it in things that you come across. You know, social media isn't all bad, because you might suddenly scroll across something and go, oh, that's actually relevant to the question I just asked. You might hear it in a song lyric. You might see, I always see cloud formations and go, oh, that's kind of reminds me of what I'm asking about. So your guidance comes to you as soon as you ask for the help. When I always finish off these episodes talking about knowing, loving, and accepting yourself, I think I say this sometimes. I'm not just saying it as a cute little way to finish off. When you are sensitive, when you are empathic, when you are hoping to live a life that is heart-driven, that is driven by your soul, it's a daily practice into knowing yourself. It's a daily practice into loving yourself, especially if you are a people pleaser like me. And to accept yourself and give yourself what you need, that is when life gets to be sparkly. I keep saying it. I hope you're hearing it. So if you have any questions about anything that I've spoken about today, please come and follow me on my Megan Jean pages. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. It's Ms. Megan Jean. And yes, my name is spelt a little bit different. It is MsMeganJean. You can find me either way. Just look that up on Facebook or Instagram. And that is what I learned from taking care of myself, and I'll continue to do so. We'll speak next time, my loves.
I'm Megan Jean, and from the bottom of my heart, I truly thank you for joining me on the Empathic and Heart-Driven podcast. You can find me at meganjean.com, and I'm known as Ms. Megan Jean on all social media. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, review. It's going to help other people just like you to find this beautiful, energetic container. I look forward to chatting with you next time. Until then, make sure you keep sparkling, okay?